Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, we've been in a series on the mind and seeing the importance of thoughts, that your thoughts have substance. They're not just unreal or immaterial. What's in your mind is a big deal. In fact, you are what you think. You are what you think. Why don't you turn with me to prove that out? Proverbs chapter 23. It's important what you think, because what you think is who you are. So if you want to be good, you got to think good. Good people think good things. Bad people think bad things. If you think bad things, but you think you're a good person, maybe you're not as good as you think. Maybe your thinking is stinking. Maybe you got it wrong. Because if you're always thinking on bad thoughts, that's an indication of where you're at in life. And so we can locate ourselves by locating our thinking. If we allow thoughts to come into our mind that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to righteousness, contrary to what's good, and we just go along with them and think on them, then we become them. That's who we are on the inside. And what you are on the inside is important. A lot of people could put forth a lot of nice facades on the outside, but how many people know where God's looking? God's looking on the inside. He's looking on the inside. He's not just looking at the outside. All right? And notice here in Proverbs chapter 23, he says in verse 6, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies." Don't eat the bread of a miser. Why? He's just thinking about money. And he's hanging on to his money, and he doesn't want to let go of his money. How many people know that's not a good thing? That's not a godly trait, to be a miser, to always be trying to hang on, hold on to your money. When you hear about offerings and tithes, you get uptight. That's an indication of you, where you're at. And if you see yourself getting uptight when it comes to money, and it's easy to get into strife with your spouse over money, then that's who you are. That's who you are. And that's not good. And so that needs to change. That shows us right there, oh, wait, this isn't good. I got to change this. We can't have the attitude, well, it's just the thought. It's not how I really am. How I really am is how I act before people. No, no, no. How you really are is how you think. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Did you get that? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. He says in verse 6, don't eat the bread of a miser. Verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. He's acting like, you know, everything's great, eat and drink, have as much as you want, but that's not where he is on the inside. That's not his real attitude. That's not the real person. The person on the inside is a different person than what's on the outside. It's very important how you think. How do you see life on the inside of you? You know, it could be sunny outside. It could be beautiful outside. A lot of great things could be going on. But people have a very bad image of their life. And what they think, what they believe, what they see on the inside is ultimately what is going to be played out in their life. People can love on you. God can walk by and pour blessings on you. And great things could be happening all around you. But if on the inside you have this negative image, this fearful image on the inside, then that is what you're going to experience in life. In fact, there's a powerful book, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to get your hands on it. It's just a little mini book from Charles Capt called God's Creative Power for Healing. How many people have read this book? Not enough of you. But very powerful revelation. And this really is something that stuck with me when I had read it quite a while back. And he writes in here that there was an article entitled Patient Knows Best that appeared in the August 1991 issue of Reader's Digest. And it says, a person's answer to the question, is your health excellent, fair, or poor, is a remarkable predictor of who will live or die over the next 4 years, according to new findings. How you answer the question concerning your health, is your health excellent, good, or poor? He said, how you answer that is very important. A study of more than 2,800 men and women, 65 and older, found that those who rate their health poor are 4 or 5 times more likely to die in the next 4 years than those who rate their health excellent. This was the case even if examinations show the respondents to be in comparable health. So they're all in comparable health, but how they saw themselves determined how things were going to turn out for them. These findings are supported by a review of 5 other large studies totaling 23,000 people, which reached similar conclusions, according to Ellen Eidler, a sociologist at Rutgers University. People that have an image of themselves being in poor health will talk about poor health, even though they may be in good health. And even though they may be in good health, they seem to live out the reality of the image they have of themselves, even unto death. They live out that image that they have of themselves. How many people believe now it's important to have a good image of yourself? Very important how you view your life, how you view yourself, how you are thinking on the inside, because it is affecting you. It's affecting your emotions. It's affecting every area of your life. So if you go into something negative, having a negative image of the people that you're going to be around, then you're just going to be negative. You're going to be looking for negative things, and you're going to experience more and more negative things. Again, that's why it says over in Philippians to think on whatever things are good, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever's of a good report, whatever's lovely, whatever's praiseworthy, think on these things. What's going to happen? You're going to experience peace. You're going to experience life. Life. I want to experience more life. Don't you? So then we got to watch how we think. And you know, over there in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible talks about how God will wash us with the water of His Word. His Word will wash away a poor self-image. It'll wash away thoughts that are contrary to God, thus contrary to your life. We need to get those thoughts washed away, and we need to come up in our thinking, not just think good, but think God thoughts. Think God thoughts. God's always trying to get us up here to think God's thoughts. Why? Because if we can consistently think the way God's Word wants us to think, or think in line with God's Word and get that image on the inside of us, then that is the reality that's going to play out in our life. That's the reality you're going to experience today. So what reality are you experiencing? What reality are you going to experience tomorrow? It's based on how you think. How you think about your tomorrow. How are you going to be thinking tomorrow? I want to make sure I'm thinking in line with God's Word. Because then I know everything's going to turn out right. Everything's going to go well for me, because that's how life is going to be played out for me. Somebody says, well, I really do have physical problems. No, according to the Word, you were healed. That goes for everybody in this room. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus took your sicknesses, He took your infirmities, He took all those things, and through him, you were healed. You were healed. So, man, I'm healthy. Ooh, I'm in excellent health. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, you need to do a word examination. A lot of people, they'll go to a medical doctor to get a physical. Well, you need to get a spiritual first. You need to get a spiritual first. You need to get a Christ scan. Thank God for your CAT scan, but you need to get a Christ scan. Just scan yourself. Praise the Lord. You don't have to get inside a big tube. Just take the word, man. Lie down and just let that word go over you. Praise God. And what's going to happen? It's going to wash you, and it's going to cause you to see yourself according to God's word, which is going to what? Cause you to experience God's word in reality, in life. God's word is going to be played out in your life. Isn't that powerful? You got to think right. You've got to think right. If you are right, then you keep your thoughts on right things. Again, 1 Peter 2:24, we live for righteousness. We live for what is right. We live for what is right according to God's word. That's what we live for. Why? Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why, and we pick on this saying quite a bit around here. You know, the old saying, well, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, see, that just put an image in you of you. If I told you you're an old sinner saved by grace, then how are you going to walk out of here? What kind of image are you going to have of yourself? You're old and you're a sinner. You're an old sinner. I mean, what is that? That means you're a professional sinner. I mean, you're a veteran sinner. That's what you are. You are a veteran sinner. Well, if you have that image, guess what you're going to do when you go out there? That's the image you're going to walk out in your life. You've got to change that image. He didn't say that you're an old sinner. He says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things, old sinners have passed away. That old man, that old sinner that was, has passed away. All things, that's everything, has become new. I am new and improved. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, praise God, you could slap that label on you, new and improved. Fresh. Fresh, exciting. That's who you are. Now, if you know it, I'm the righteousness of God. I am. You have faith. I am the righteousness of God. Then when unrighteous thoughts come to your mind, what do? That isn't me. You cast down, recognize that's the devil. That's not me. You don't sit there, entertain it, play with it, and then live that out on the inside of you. If you're living it out on the inside of you, that's what's going to come out of you. That's what you're going to draw to yourself. And that's another whole thing, how your thoughts will draw to you what you're thinking. What you have on your mind will draw to you the things that you're thinking. Well, we see it over here in Hebrews chapter 11. We might as well look at it. Verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Had they called to mind where they had come from, then opportunities would have come to them for them to return back to that. If we call to mind the old man, the old sinful life, and that's what we think on that, if we call that to mind, then our minds will call out to that old life to come to us. It'll literally create that reality for us. Next thing you know, we start having circumstances and situations around us that look like the old life. Watch what your mind is on, because what your mind is on, you're going to draw to yourself. Opportunities are going to arise for you to walk out those thoughts that you're thinking. Opportunities are going to come to you to do those things. And if they're bad things, then it's temptation. You are literally creating temptation for yourself. As you think on negative things, you're calling those things. You're creating opportunities for those things to happen in your life. Thus tempting you to do evil. But thank God, if we keep our mind on Him, He will lead us not into temptation. How will He keep us from being led into temptation? By keeping our minds on Him. Keeping our minds on Him will call Him to us, will call His presence to us. If we think on right things, then right things will come to us. Right things will follow us. Goodness and mercy will hunt us down. It will track us, and it will find us and make it easy for us to live out the reality of that goodness and that mercy that we're thinking on. Think good thoughts. Think merciful thoughts. Because that's what you're surrounding yourself with. That's what you're drawing to yourself. That's the reality you're creating for yourself. Isn't that powerful? So thoughts are powerful. Thoughts are powerful. It's kind of like, you know, I think of these big antennas, you know, and how they transmit and receive signals, don't they? I mean, they put a tower out there and they put it on a certain frequency and it attracts, it draws to itself certain signals, doesn't it? And it transmits certain signals. What are you transmitting this morning in this place? Huh? What are you transmitting? Are you transmitting heaven? Are you transmitting faith? Are you transmitting love? Are you transmitting hope? Huh? What are you transmitting negativity? Transmitting doubt? Transmitting unbelief? Because what you're transmitting, more than likely, other people are picking up your signal. Other people are picking up your signal, and so your thoughts then are affecting other people. Your thoughts are affecting others. I want to affect people for the good, don't you? Yeah. So you see, you just sitting there, don't think you're just sitting there is doing nothing. If you're thinking, you're doing something. Things are going on. And then if you start thinking in a negative direction, then you start picking up negative signals from other people. And that's why birds of a feather flock together. You ever notice that? Birds of a feather flock together. Because somebody's over here, they're a negative. They got a negative, they're negative frequency. So what are they receiving? They're receiving, they can't hear faith. Faith is flying right past them. They are not on that wavelength. They're not on that frequency. They're not there. They're not going to get that. It's going to go right past, right by their tower. But they're picking up everybody's negative thoughts, picking up every negative thing. And then something happens. Service is over, and for some reason I'm drawn to this person. I don't know why I'm drawn to this person. And next thing you know, the little birdies of the feathers flocking together. Maybe they're drawn together. And you'll see that for the positive, and you'll see that for the negative. We're attracting certain people around us. We're attracting certain people around us. We're picking up their signal, and we are giving a signal to others. This is really happening. Everybody's on this morning, but it's what frequency are you on? And then, not just this morning, but we want to stay on the right frequency all the time. And this is how we're going to find positive things coming to us. Positive signals are going to find you, your tower, if that's what you're tuned into. That's what he says right here. They would have opportunity. If they had had this, if they had that country on their mind, then opportunities to go there would have come to them. If they had this on, whatever that is on their mind, then opportunities to go there and to walk out that reality would come to them. So let's make sure that our minds are in the right place. If it's in your mind, it's very important. Notice in Proverbs, well, I'll just read it to you. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 5, it says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Have you had any wicked, abominable thoughts? Well, again, the devil, he's the wicked one. And he'll come and try to affect your frequency. He'll try to get your mind set in a certain direction. But if you're a righteous person, if you're in faith concerning that you are right, you're the righteousness of God, then you're going to what? You're going to turn away from those thoughts. You're going to resist those thoughts. Come on. You're going to reject those thoughts. You got to rise up and say, no, that's not me, devil. You're not going to set my frequency on that abomination. You're not going to set my frequency on wickedness. In the name of Jesus, I resist that. And you do. You got to speak up. You got to speak up. But if you sit there and you enjoy it, and guess what you're attracting to yourself? Guess what kind of signals you're giving off to others? People will pick up your signals. And wrong stuff, wicked stuff, will be attracted to you. That's why television is so powerful. You got to watch what you're programming in your mind, because it gets into society. What people are watching, I mean, you see it in the little things. I mean, you know, you got a celebrity that dresses a certain way, and they all dress this way in the movies and TV. And next thing you know, you look at society, and society starts looking exactly like the goofy stuff that we see on TV. This image keeps being put in front of people. That image gets inside people. And next thing you know, they're walking out the reality of that image. And usually it's not a good image. And again, how you think is who you are. So you got to guard your mind lest you be something you don't want to be. You got to guard yourself from being what you do not want to be. Proverbs chapter 94 in verse 11. It says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. That means vain, pointless, empty, useless, meaningless. Man's thoughts. Of course, this would be those that haven't been born again. It's not talking about the righteous. It's talking about the wicked. It's talking about the worldly. Their thoughts are empty. They're pointless. They're meaningless. They're useless. And the Lord knows them. How does he know them? Does the person next to you know your thoughts? God knows them. How can he know them unless he sees them, unless he hears them? God is God. He's able to pick up every frequency that's out there all at the same time. It's amazing. He's able to pick it all up. What a merciful God. I don't think I'd want his job. He's got to listen to a lot of junk. There's a lot of stations playing that. Meaningless, useless, vain and vulgar. A lot of crazy stuff flying around in the minds of men. And the Lord knows them all. The Lord knows them all. So again, oh, it's just in my thoughts. Well, it's just before the Lord. He sees it. He sees it. Are you going to allow it to sit there in your mind? You know, over here in Genesis, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. There was a day where God couldn't take it anymore. He could not take it anymore. He just couldn't handle everything that he was seeing that was going on in the earth. Not just in the physical realm, but in the mental realm. In the mental realm as well. Here in Genesis chapter 6, back in the days of Noah, the Bible says in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God looked and he saw what was going on the inside of him. And notice, it affected the Lord. The Lord saw this. He saw that the earth was filled with wickedness. And it wasn't just in the physical. He looked and he thought, he saw people, they were going to work, they were going about their daily business, but their thoughts and the intents of their minds was wicked constantly. They were constantly thinking evil, self-seeking thoughts. That's what the Lord saw, and that's what led to the judgment that came upon this world in the form of the flood. It wasn't just man's actions. Not everybody was just running around killing everybody and just acting crazy. But a lot of folks were thinking crazy. And how a man thinks in his heart is how he is. And that's what the Lord saw. That's what the Lord saw. The Lord saw all these things. The Amplified Classic Version says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually." You know, there's a lot of folks, they do something bad and they say, well, you know, they really had good intentions. They had good intentions. Here, the Lord's looking and he's seeing people, some people probably doing good, but their intentions are evil. There's a lot of folks, you could do a lot of what looks good to man, but your intentions be corrupt, be evil, you're manipulative, you want to control people, you're trying to take advantage of people, and in your heart you're plotting against people. Even though on the outside you're smiling and say, come, eat, drink, be merry. You're acting very friendly on the outside. The Lord knows all this. The Lord sees all these things. And you and I shouldn't go through this life and be caught off guard ourselves by people whose motives are corrupt and wrong. We should be able to discern bad signals, evil thinking. One way you can discern is if you're giving off faith signals and they ain't receiving it, then there's only one other signal left. That's the flesh signal. So if they're not receiving the faith signal, then they're on a bad frequency, which means mentally they're in a bad place. And they need to get out of that place. And I ain't necessarily going to go to that place with them. And so you might not know the details of their thoughts, but you can discern and recognize when people's thoughts aren't good simply by the fact that they're not receiving good thoughts. They're not receiving good thoughts from you. They're not picking up faith signals. The Bible says there are people who lie in wait to deceive. They lie in wait to deceive. Now, that's real foreign to my thinking because I'm always thinking of how to help people, be a blessing to people. But there are people, they get up and they're thinking about how they can take people captive, how they can deceive you to accomplish whatever agenda it is they want to accomplish. We need to be aware of that. And what's going to help us be more discerning of these things? The good old Word of God. The good old Word of God. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Have you know God knows the thoughts and intents of people's hearts? Well, guess what? Through the Word of God, being filled with the Word of God will cause you to be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But wait, first, that starts with discerning your own thoughts and your own intents, the intentions of your own heart, judging yourself. Man, when you get in the Word of God, it is sharp. It'll pierce right through all this deception and all these lies that we have in there, all these things we have in our mind of ourselves that is not according to the Word of God. And it'll go in there and it'll show those things up. It'll expose false motives. Has God ever dealt with you about having wrong motives? He will deal, the Word will deal with you on any kind of thing that's not right. And if you let it, you let that God, Word of God work in you, it'll cause you to fully be able to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart so that you're not walking in self-deception, believing lies about yourself. You could walk in the light. You could walk in the truth. The Word will help you walk in the light, walk in the truth. On the inside, have a true God-given image on the inside of you. All right? So that's where it starts right there, showing up the thoughts, intents of your own heart. But then as you judge yourself of false motives and everything that's wrong on the inside of you, and as God, you allow him to work in you through his Word to clean you up in those areas, it makes you sharp. It makes you discerning. It makes it so you can cut through all the fluff and all the phony stuff that's going on in this world all around us and cause you to be able to see clearly what's really going on here. And that's how we need to go through this life. We need to be able to see clearly what's going on here. We need to be able to discern what's really happening here and not come under the deception, the cloud of deception that man creates. And if we'll walk with this kind of discernment, then we'll never get tripped up. Jesus walked in this because he is the Word of God made flesh, right? But he illustrated this all through his life. Matthew chapter 9 in verse 4, it says, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" So here he's got this religious group of people around him, a lot of these religious leaders, and they're standing there, and here's Jesus teaching them. He's talking to them, ministering the Word of God to them. But then, and the people are getting healed, but then he is able to see beyond the physical and see into the realm of thoughts and recognize your thoughts are evil. See, God sees your thoughts. It's just in your mind. God sees it. People could see it. Jesus can tune in. He could pick up those frequencies. So he's picking those things up here. Jesus knowing their thoughts. In Matthew 12:25, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation.'" And he goes on. But notice, Jesus knowing their thoughts. A lot of times Jesus would answer people's thoughts before they even said anything to him. He knew where they were coming from before they ever opened their mouth. And God wants us to be the same way. His Word will do that same work in you and I. It'll cause you to be discerning. And think of how much you can help people. Because a lot of times people cannot articulate what they're feeling, what they're thinking, you know, what's happening in their life. They don't even have a handle on it themselves. But you're able to pick it up. They can't articulate it, but yet you're able to articulate it. You're able to get it without them saying a word. Think of how well you'd be able to help people that way. There's a lot of people that overreact to things because they misjudged what the other person was saying, what the other person was doing. They misjudged the whole thing, missed the whole thing. But that shouldn't be for you and I. You and I, through the Word of God, can be discerners of thoughts and intents, and therefore we're not going to overreact to people. We're not going to get deceived by people. We're going to have peace because we're discerning. We're discerning. We can discern the truth. You know, they got these things called lie detectors. And, you know, I don't know too much about them, but I guess they put those electrodes on you and tie you, you know, put you in a chair or whatever, and then they start asking you questions. And they got a meter. This is amazing. They got this meter that's sitting there. So the person, they ask a person a question, and then the person, you know, gives an answer, and they're watching this meter. And I think what they do is they ask like real obvious questions. Questions that they know the person is going to answer honestly. You know, the person have no reason to lie. And they're trying to develop a pattern. They're trying to set a pattern. So they ask a bunch of things that they know the person's going to answer honestly. And then they start throwing the big questions at them. The stuff they're not sure about, if this person's telling the truth or not. And so let's say the pattern's just like this. And then they ask them this question. And the person goes, no, I never did that. I mean, it just goes off the charts, you know. And I go, oh, okay. Well, how about this? Where were you on September 23rd at 2 o'clock? I was home with my kids. They can be very calm. They never change on the outside. But somehow this machine is picking up something going on in their body. Because what they're saying isn't agreeing with what they believe and what they think in their heart. And the machine, come on, they figured out a machine that can actually figure this out. What's going on with people? It can read these things when your words are contrary to what you really think. Isn't that something? Thoughts are important. Say it. Thoughts are important. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we don't have to be deceived about anything in life. Just like the Lord sees, we're tuned into the Lord. We're tuned into his word. We see. We know. We're discerning. Not necessarily that you see all the details, but you have a sense. You have a knowing. Maybe it's a general knowing about things. Jesus had a general knowing. Why are you thinking evil in your thoughts? Now, he might not have known specifically the evil thoughts, but he knew they were thinking evil in their thoughts. And you and I can pick up these things as well. Of course, number one, we need to pick them up in ourselves, because the person you can fix the most is your spouse. No. The person you can fix the most is you. So you got to work on you. You got to work on you. You see, this is like the lie detester. Lie detester? Yeah, I detest lies. That's good. Thank you. It's a lie detester. Yes, it is. And it is a lie tester. And so we just put our hand on the Word of God, and we can see where we're at, right? We're talking, we're acting, the way we're living our life, and we can pick it up. The Word of God shows us. And we can judge that and get those things right. Amen. Keep our thinking, keep the attitude of our heart correct. Because that's what God's looking at. Don't you want him to see good things? Psalm, we'll close with this. Psalm 19. In verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Notice that prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let how I'm thinking in my heart be acceptable in your sight. Why? Because the Lord sees what's going on the inside. And we don't want to just look good on the outside. We want to look good on the inside to the Lord. We want to be acceptable to him on the inside. That word acceptable means pleasing, pleasurable, desirable, favorable, good. Lord, let the things that I meditate on be pleasing to you. Let them be good in your sight, because I understand that you see them. They aren't just nothingness that's just something that I deal with. You're seeing them. And besides that, I don't want my mind to be something that is pleasing for the devil to sit down and watch. The devil isn't going to come over to my mind and watch a movie that he enjoys. Because I believe God can see it. Discerning people can see it, and I believe the devil can see it. And so whenever he comes over to look into my mind, scares him right out of the theater. I've got a continuous horror flick playing. But it isn't the kind of horror flick of the world. It's a horror flick to the devil, which instead of it being the devil being the one terrifying people, it's Christ Jesus. What's playing in your mind? Christ Jesus. Coming soon to theaters everywhere. Huh? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Here he is again. Woo, hallelujah. Healing, delivering, praise God. Casting out devils. That's what the image I have going on in mind. What's playing in your mind? Somebody say Jesus. Let's keep him on the mind. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.